Welcome to this special presentation by Marshall Masters, a former CNN science feature producer and the publisher of the Colburn Bible. You can learn more about this 3,600-year-old secular wisdom text at colburn.com. That's K-O-L-B-R-I-N.com.
What makes the Colburn Bible so important to those of us living today is that it gives us invaluable information of past flybys of a massive object the ancient Egyptians called the Destroyer or the Doom Shape. According to scholar Zachariah Sitchin, the Sumerians called it Nibiru, and the Celts and Druids called it the Frightener. Many other civilizations talk about this object, notably the Mayans and the Hopi. And regardless of what they call it, they all tell us the same thing. It's coming back. The question then becomes, is it coming back in our time? Well, keep these two things in mind. Right now, NASA is looking for objects in space at a pace never before seen. Particularly, they're looking for brown dwarfs, which are very difficult to spot. The ancients tell us this object comes in from the south, oddly enough, and normally this would really present a problem for us because there's not a lot of observatories in the southern hemisphere. However, in the first quarter of 2007, the SPT, the South Pole Telescope, will become operational at the South Pole. It's a 10-meter infrared telescope, which means it is the perfect instrument at the perfect time, at the perfect place to observe and detect any obscure object approaching from the south, such as a brown dwarf. And keep in mind, the ancient authors of the Colburn Bible specifically tell us that this object will be unlike anything else we've ever seen in the night sky. So assuming that the Destroyer, or Nibiru, whatever the ancients called it, is coming up from the south, what does that mean for us today? Well, that largely depends how this object would interact with our sun, and that is causing concern, as our sun is more violent now than it has been in all of our recorded history. So consequently, Japan, United States, and the European Union will be launching a fleet of 5 solar observatories into space to monitor the sun in every way imaginable. We're talking about a level of solar research that is simply unprecedented. So with these thoughts in mind, let me tell you a little bit about how we came to find the Colburn Bible, why it offers clear corroboration for Zachariah Sitchin's translation of the Sumerian texts, and why I decided to publish it. The path that eventually led me to the Colburn Bible really began back in the early 90s. I had a travel business specializing in small groups to Russia. And so every winter, I would take the polar flight from San Francisco to Moscow on Aeroflot. And over the years of flying back and forth during the winter, I noticed how the North Pole was slowly breaking up. The first flight over, it looked beautiful, unblemished, and white. And then in 1998, the last flight that I made, it looked like a broken windshield. This made me curious as to what was really happening with global warming, and in 1999 I began looking into that with other researchers. And what we determined is what scientists are now saying, is that global warming is largely driven by solar activity. The question then was, what's causing the solar activity? Which, mind you, is also causing global warming on Mars. In fact, every body in our solar system with an atmosphere has been perturbed in one way or another. And this information is freely available from our government. Just Google it. So the next question became, let's assume there's an object coming into the system. Now that leads us to two questions. Is it a rogue? Or is it a returning object in a captive orbit around our sun? Well, for those of you who are familiar with the work of Zachariah Sitchin, he translated the Sumerian tablets, and the civilization of Sumer is the first known human civilization. It existed between the Tigris and Euphrates River in what is now modern-day Iraq. And the Sumerians are very clear. They call this object Nibiru, and they tell us it comes by on a regular basis and creates catastrophes that do propel the evolutionary process on this planet. At this point, we looked at the work of Sitchin and his translations of the Sumerian texts, and the next step was to find what's called provenance. Is there someone else talking about the same thing around the same time? We found that provenance in the Colbran Bible, which was written during the time that Moses was leading the Jews through the Sinai after the Exodus. And the latter part of it was written in the days following the death of Jesus by Celtic priests in Britain. In this text, we found direct provenance for Sitchin's translation of the Sumerian texts, namely that the Egyptians called it the Doomshaper, or the Destroyer, and that the Celts called it the Frightener. Like the Sumerian texts, the historical accounts in the Colbran Bible are incredibly prescient. In other words, they read just like a man-on-the-street interview you'd see on television. And along with the Sumerians, the ancient Egyptians, the ancient Celts, the Hopi, the Mayans, and other ancient civilizations all tell us one thing. Even though they call this object by many names, they stress that it will return, and their prophecies indicate that it will return in our time. This is why the Colbran Bible, now coming to light after 3,600 years, is an incredible windfall for humanity, especially those of us who are never going to have those little golden Wonka tickets that'll get us into the government bunkers. If you happen to have your own little golden Wonka ticket, well, lucky you, because the vast majority of us will not be equally blessed. What are we to do? Let's talk about that next. Those of us who don't hold those little golden Wonka tickets, we've got to make do. But there is a light at the end of the tunnel, because the Colbran Bible does give you an edge. And this is because the Colbran Bible helps us in several ways. First, it tells us what's going to come, and it gives us, if you will, a folklore training so we're not dumbstruck when events begin to break. Then, in the midst of the catastrophe, there are moments when you need inspiration, and the Colbran Bible has wonderful stories of how people go through terrible times together without losing their humanity, rather, that it ennobles them. And these are the kind of inspiring stories we're going to need when we're standing knee-deep in guacamole, so to speak. Then afterwards, the survivors are going to form into small communities. And we're going to need understandings to make those communities work. And the Colbran Bible gives us phenomenal understandings that predate the Holy Bible, the Torah, the Quran, and other religious works. So it's free of controversy that we can find a common ground for a new set of understandings within survival communities to come together and to bring about the coming golden millennia of peace promised by so many prophecies and prophets. This is why you want to have the Colbran Bible in your home library today. It was not written by the victors. It was not written by the losers. It was not written by those inspired of God. This book was written by those who survived catastrophes we've yet to imagine. So when the worst does happen, are you going to wait for the government to send you the water trucks? Are you going to listen to talking head experts and their untested theories? Or are you going to want to turn to the ancient wisdom of those who have survived that which now faces you? Because when you put all the facts together, the destroyer is returning, and it will return in our time. And those most likely to survive this event will be the ones who do not say, "I'll cross that bridge when I come to it." This is Marshall Masters, publisher of the Colburn Bible, and I'll catch you on the backside of the flyby.
We thank you for listening to this special presentation by Marshall Masters, a former CNN Science feature producer and the publisher of the Colburn Bible. You can learn more about this 3,600-year-old secular wisdom text at colburn.com. That's K-O-L-B-R-I-N.com.